What?
You know, put emphasis on that P.
Oh. Wait, way to go, punk. Right, like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I had more emphasis on the unk. Oops. Yeah. Oh, well.
I miss when Brooklyn Nine-Nine was good.
You mean when it was Brooklyn Nine-Nine and not we're sorry for being Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Yeah.
Yeah, I miss those days too. Yeah. Oh man, we're here. We're doing the show.
Yes.
Yeah. Say something else real quick so I can see your mic level again.
Okay, I'm going to keep talking. God, I think you're so the quiet. Cat is about to or no, she changed her mind.
Anyways,
okay.
We'll have to deal with it.
I don't know. I can't talk from the diaphragm. It's all here.
I know, but it's all there, but very quiet still.
I know, I can't.
Anyways, guys, good morning. Welcome to the Daily Cup of Genre. Not very daily this week after being daily last week. Sorry about that, but sponsored by the good folks over at Grow Generation here on the Genreverse Podcast Network, brought to you by LRM Online. Check out the website lrmonline.com and genreverse.com every day for all of your entertainment news, needs, and opinions, latest in rumors, leaks, announcements. Like we do it all. We're not quite an aggregate because we don't just take other people's stories. We do it all. So check it out. All the podcasts on the Genreverse Podcast Network are available on the sites, as well as anywhere you get your podcast from: Apple, Google, Spotify, anything like that, and the YouTube channel, Genreverse Podcast Network's YouTube channel. You see Christine's beautiful face and my ugly mug when we do shows like this and anime versus reviews. The guys over at Breaking Geek are of very various levels of attractiveness. And then the cantina is just all ugly dudes. Sorry, you might find Cam slightly hot because of the accent, but trust me, you know that's
okay.
That's all we've got going for us over on the cantina talking about Star Wars. But regardless, hit the subscribe button if you like looking at ugly chuds. So, and then Christine, she's pretty.
Well, thank you.
Full disclosure, I'm married. I'm married to her. I have to say that.
Yes, you do. It's required. Otherwise, you won't wake up in the morning.
Or you wake up with random cuts on your arms.
Yeah.
Now you got the cut on your arm? No idea. That was a good show, Scrubs.
Yeah, I know. We can never stop referencing it. It's just one of those
so referenceable.
Yes, it is.
Referenceable. I don't know what would be the.
I think it would be the former.
Referenceable. I don't know. It was just a like a legit good show. Hi, Reza, puppy. It was just a legit good show. Managed to be completely off the wall crazy.
Yes.
Front
butt. Come on.
Yeah. Front butt. with several episodes that there's not really a moral. There might be a little bit of a lesson in most episodes, but there's a lot that are just doctors and patients just going through the motions through the day, little personal things. You know, sometimes a story took two or three episodes or even an entire season. Joy. Anyways, guys, sorry about that. We were talking about Scrubs and how it you know, managed to tell good stories, sometimes just fun pointless episodes, and then lots of good heartfelt stories, and I miss the show.
I do too.
Yeah. It was really good.
There's not a lot of, you know, shows that are that good out there. It sucks.
Not anymore, or if they are, it takes you and me forever to find them.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're always late to the party.
One thing I don't want to be late to the party at this year is the Batman. I don't want to be late to that party because it looks really, really good. And it's had a troubled development, lots of rumors and accusations of whether or not Pattinson was working out enough. Was he going to be a good enough Batman, and then that trailer drops, and everyone's like, "Yeah, shut the fuck up!" until the movie comes out. That looked amazing.
Yes.
One of the big things about Batman's character, though, is he doesn't kill, right? And we got to speak, or not us get to speak. We get to hear from Pattinson's own point of view in a interview with the French outlet Premiere. So here's what he has to say when he's asked, about the no kill rule. He goes, "There is this rule with Batman. He must not kill. It can be interpreted in two ways. Either he only wants to inflict the appropriate punishment, or he wants to kill and his self-control prevents him from doing so." And he goes on to say, "I imagined it that way from rehearsal, from the rehearsal of the first fight. I thought it was funnier," or maybe they meant to say funner. I don't know. Something in him just wanted to slit the guy's throat. And I told myself that if he spends his nights chasing criminals, it is impossible that he does not take pleasure in it. He suffers, and it is a desire that overwhelms him." I kind of dig that.
Yeah.
Look at it. What do you think about that, Christine?
I'm cool with it.
Anyone that's done any type of contact sport, any type of physical competition, even going into racing, which you don't think of as a contact sport, but there becomes a bloodlust in there to a degree. And in sports, it's way different than, say, crime fighting or military operations. Mm-hmm. But there's even, and I don't mean like, oh, gung-ho, I want to go kill bad guys, but there's a certain dopamine reward system to completing your job. And if your job is to stop bad guys, or your job is to beat the other team, that kind of action reward system becomes ingrained. And it is a type of self-control to be like, okay, I can use that adrenaline and stuff in my pursuit, but I got to keep the mental aspects of not going out looking for a fight in check. But Batman goes out looking for a fight, so like, it's interesting to kind of see it that instead of the moral character, it's wrong to kill. The cops just need my help, which I'm not making fun of. Those of you that hear this sarcasm, it's sarcastic because it's kind of cheesy, but that altruism does exist. There are people out there saying, "I'm going to stop the bad guy because the bad guy must be stopped." Especially when that bad guy's Alex Ovechkin on the Washington Capitals. He must be stopped at all costs. preferably by Pittsburgh Penguins. We haven't played them in the playoffs since 18. Anyways.
It's been a while.
I know, right? I don't know. I'm interested to see, I don't think there's anything in this piece that says they explore that verbally, but I'm kind of interested to see what that looks like on screen. I want to kill this person, but I won't. Mm-hmm. We kind of get a little bit of that in the Dark Knight trilogy, don't we? And then he kind of come close to the edge a couple of times, but it's always him like having been pushed there, not necessarily getting a thrill from it.
I don't remember. Okay. Oh my God. Yeah. Like the only thing that I can compare it to, and I hate doing it because again, it's, Marvel, DC, but it's like he's less Captain America, more Daredevil.
Yeah. Yeah.
So kind of like that.
They explore that with Daredevil in seasons 2 and 3. I think they touch on, maybe it was even Foggy who's like, "You're enjoying this too much. Like you could give it up. You just won't."
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah.
With Batman. So yeah. I'm excited.
It'll be interesting to see about that.
Mm-hmm.
Let us know what you guys think down in the comments below about Batman, and what's what is the better reason to not kill? Is it, and I don't mean better as in morally, I mean better story-wise, but better character-wise, is it to not do it because it's wrong, or is it to want to do it and just keep it in check?
Yeah.
Good conversation starter in my mind. Let's take a look at our next chit-chat story, if you will.
Okay.
Spider-Man 4, rumors, complete rumor, I'll be up from a source that LRM's Cam Clark and others here, but Cam wrote the article, so throwing him under the, I mean, boosting him up, nah. Viewer Anon has pretty decent hit rate for their scoops, and this isn't really like, I know some people, oh my god, if you didn't think Miles would be coming in eventually, you're blind, you know, you kind of
looking
get
forward
the,
to it.
You get his uncle,
yeah,
who's Prowler in Homecoming, played by Donald Glover, which I would love to see him come back as Prowler.
Yeah,
both it with Holland, because they've had interactions before, and Miles. I would love to see that. So Viewer Anon on Twitter says, hey, potential spoiler alert for Spider-Man 4. Seriously, spoiler alert, but as always, take with a grain of salt. I've heard the planned goal for Spider-Man 4 is to bring Miles Morales into the MCU. Peter would meet him while shaken post No Way Home, and they'll bond over the course of the movie. Like I said, that's seems pretty much what people expected. Viewer Anon tweeted again. He said, I'll reiterate what I said in my previous tweet. This is based on a single source. I'm not as confident in it as I am in most things I post, but I think it would be really cool. And this was pretty clear. If they didn't bring Miles in by the fourth one introduced, I'm not saying he should be full-blown Spider-Man yet, but if they don't introduce the character in the next one, I would feel kind of cheated. What do you think?
I would want to throw a damn fit. I'm looking forward to his introduction. I can't wait to see it. I really do like the character. I like the approach that the Spider-Man
video game.
Well, not just that, but that was really good too. But the animated movie and then one that's coming out.
Spider-Verse.
Yeah, I love the personality that they created with that. And then I also like the video game, seeing Miles Morales in that. I liked the personality there as well. So yeah, I'm just looking forward to seeing what they're going to do with the character. So we'll see.
No, I agree. I think Miles is interesting. There's a while he was the Spider-Man book I was reading. I wasn't reading Peter's stories at all. The game did a really good job, and I think they should use the game's kind of blueprints to introduce Miles, which are, you know, based on some of the comic blueprints to a degree, but there's some liberties there versus what Bendis did. But the idea of him actually getting to have a relationship with Peter first before the spider bite, I think it's important, and both for Holland's Peter Parker as well as for a MCU Miles. Because I got this feeling Sony legitimately is just putting Spider-Verse shit on live action now, and I don't like that, because we already had Spider-Verse. I love the Spider-Verse movie. I want to see more, including the sequel, part one of Across the Spider-Verse. I want that shit. I don't need a animated and live action version of the same shit, though. Mm-hmm. So I need my MCU or live action Miles to be the same character, but in a different setting. Does that make sense?
You want them to be the same? Is that what you just said? Because there's a lot of words there.
Miles live action.
Yeah.
He needs to be Miles. I'm not saying change Miles, but he doesn't need to be part of a Spider-Verse setting.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, let him grow and develop with this Peter Parker.
Mm-hmm.
Not a whole bunch.
Yeah.
Agree or disagree?
I agree.
Are you going to help me out here and talk some?
Well, you just said it, and it's like, I agree, but like, what else is there to add to it? It's like, oh, that's a great idea.
Kyle's right. That's the end of it.
No. Yeah, let's you and that.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you have a fear of Sony just trying to do live action Spider-Verse? Do you think that's what they're doing?
I
you see all the calls
they
for
don't.
Holland, or not Holland, but Garfield to come back?
Yeah, I know. I'm not looking forward to that. I don't know. I don't know what they're, because I'm not good at predicting what's going to happen. I can just say, I hope that this doesn't happen. So I guess, yeah. I don't know. What do you think?
I think they want to do a live action Spider-Verse. I think we're going to see basically Spider-Verse on big screen live action. That's what Sony eventually wants to see happen. So you might kind of see the Arrowverse, DCEU, where everything is separated and connected, so they can play in whatever sandbox they want, and then bring them all together for a multi-dimensional adventure, which is great. In the animated film, and say vice versa, if they had done a Spider-Verse series live action first and then tried to animate it, no. Why are you double dipping like that? Like, tell two different fucking stories.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. Anyways, we'll go ahead and take a word from our sponsors over at Grow Generation, guys.
Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. Grow Generation is your one-stop shop for hydroponic grow supplies, product systems, and more. Grow Generation serves customers across the nation and carries a wide inventory of renowned cultivation brands. Go to www.growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow.
Thank you guys so much for sponsoring the episode. Check Grow Generation out in the discussion description boxes down below. Last story for today, guys. We've got some words from Valkyrie herself. Oops, did I really just do that again? Sorry guys about that.
You're fired.
There's the Chrome thing.
Just kidding.
There we go. We got Tessa Thompson talking about Thor Love and Thunder, specifically romance and love in the MCU / Thor Love and Thunder. Look, there was awful chemistry between Portman and Hemsworth in the first two Thor movies.
Correct.
It's one of the worst parts about it is this not only romance that they tried to rely heavily on, but just wasn't necessary to be that heavy, but the fact that the chemistry was bad. It's one of the worst parts of it. And it's not a slight to Natalie Portman herself overall, but then again, the other big love interest in a big geek project was Anakin, and that also had all awful chemistry, but writing as well. So, but the writing for most of the Thor stuff was half decent, you know?
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Romance in the MCU is kind of one of those things where it's like, yeah, having Pepper, having with Tony, Peter, and MJ, like,
yeah,
stuff
people,
like that's fun.
Yeah, people do pair up in life, so it's like, why would you ignore that? But there's sometimes where it's like, it just doesn't work.
Yeah, and the story you're telling might need less of the romance in it. And then that's not me saying we shouldn't ever do any, because like Luke Cage and Jessica Jones romances in the comics and even in the show is something a lot of people really enjoyed. But Tessa Thompson spoke with the Wrap and had this to say when talking about being Marvel's first openly LGBTQ character. I don't even know what's first anymore through like retcons and because what's been shown on screen versus what's off screen, they're this that are the other, because like Eternals has the openly gay Eternal guy in the, so anyways it's totally exciting. We talk so much about representation and obviously in terms of the LGBTQIA community, and that's me sighing at the length of the damn acrostic acronym. Anyways, community, there's still so much work to be done. But if you look at the comics and the canon, there are so many queer characters. It's hard because Taika, who you guys know as the director of the last Thor film, Taika Waititi, and I would have even liked to go further, but in the context of the movies, there's only so much we can do. Unfortunately, yeah. There's not a lot of time invested in love stories in the Marvel movies in general. I think that will be a little different on the new Thor. She's speaking of the Thor Love and Thunder, which is exciting. And getting to play a character that historically is not written for somebody that looks like me. Valkyrie was a white character. And Thompson's a female person of color. All of that felt exciting. So there you go. I don't know why I feel like I need to explain things like I'm on CNN or something. Like everyone listening to this knows who the fuck Tessa Thompson is. So I'll try to not Barney style it for you guys too much. I apologize for that. That's what you get for watching regular news. You're like, oh, that's how you're supposed to be professional. So everything she said sounds right. For the most part, except for whether or not I want to see more love stuff. I'm not against it. How does
you're
it
just not
land?
A romantic person. I'm not. Yeah. So yeah, it's like,
how does it land?
Yeah.
And why is it there?
Mm-hmm.
Story-wise, you know, are we doing something that doesn't fit the characters because we're trying to draw in an audience, whether that's, you know, part of the LGBT community or say people that are into romance movies, you know, either way, if it doesn't fit the characters and the story, then leave it light. Mm-hmm. Don't make it a big focus.
Yeah.
If it fits the characters and the stories and you get to bring in groups that don't necessarily watch Marvel movies, be that lovelorn people or the rom-com junkie, sure, why not? So, but what if the story's between Jane and Thor again? Like, can you see them having good chemistry on a third outing?
No. So it's like, what's going to happen? I don't know, but you know, I am interested in, you know, what they're going to do with romance in this, the whole love part of Love and Thunder. So it's, yeah, I'm curious, just don't know what's going to happen yet. And I, considering it's Taika Waititi, it's like, he's not going to have this epic fail of a movie. No. He's done so much great work. So it's like, however he's going to put this love stuff in, it's gonna be, I think it's gonna be great. So
Taika did write one of the best love stories out there with What We Do in the Shadows between Nadja and
Laszlo.
I mean, those two lovebirds, they're for the ages, man. That is true love right there. He locked her in a box and shipped her away for love. what husband doesn't dream of doing that?
Ass. But yeah, like, so when do we get a trailer for this? Like, I don't even
Thor Love and Thunder, probably, I don't know, sometime here, not too far away. When is Thor's release day? I think this one's July. Thor Love and Thunder, excuse me, release July. So yeah, legitimately any day now. Mm-hmm. I can't think off the top of my head what like event might be coming out or anything like that that would make a good time to do it. But yeah, July, you're talking 6 months, just under 6 months away now. I could see the trailer dropping February or March easily.
Yeah, considering it's Thor Love and Thunder, it'd be great to come out on Valentine's Day.
You know that, Christine, that's actually a really good point. If no one's made that suggestion, give Christine Malone at Adorable Doom the credit. I think that makes sense. No, yeah. Like, I don't know if anyone's even suggested that.
But. I have no idea. I'm probably not the first to think it.
I hope so. I hope you are the first, because that'd be cool. Anyway, so yeah, maybe we'll see it on Valentine's Day, but definitely yeah. February, March, I see the trailer. I like the Valentine's Day idea a lot.
Thank you.
Anyways, guys, LRMonline.com is the website. Check that out. Everything's here. The interviews from the LRM YouTube channel, the podcast from the Genreverse Podcast Network's YouTube and the podcast apps are here. Everything you can imagine, stories on everything, anime, video games, indie stuff from movies, TV shows, streaming cartoons, comic books, we cover it all. And then we like to take all that stuff and talk about it in depth on shows like The Cantina, doing Star Wars right now, reviewing Book of Boba Fett. Animeverse Reviews, doing Sabikui Bisco right now, which is just like the most anime thing to ever anime. Marvel Multiverse Mayhem, keep an eye on that. Nick and I will be reviewing Logan this week. And then in 2 weeks in the future, you'll get a chance to listen to a fan commentary. Not that we're fans of this movie, but fan commentary, and watch a supercut kind of Mystery Science Theater-ish, if you will, of that commentary on the YouTube channel for X-Men Origins Wolverine. Basically, we watch like the best of Deadpool, and then what some consider to be the best of Wolverine. I think everyone considers it to be the best movie he did, but there are some people that don't like the movie. And then watch the worst versions of both of those characters in this the X-Men Origins movie. So yeah, keep an eye out for that. And the video will be here on the Genreverse Podcast Network's YouTube channel. Full audio track, not just a supercut, will be available. And we'll tell you guys when to push play and join us for that. So hopefully that all goes well. And like, share, subscribe, follow, thumbs up, down, leave comments, reviews on Apple, Spotify, and things like that. All help us out greatly. I like giving you guys all this shit for free, but I would love to update some of the equipment. So yeah, help us grow some, so we can get that ad revenue flowing. And yeah, guys, Christine, anything you want to say?
I just wanted to applaud you for saying the Marvel Multiverse Mayhem correct.
Oh.
You tried to fix it, but then it's like, no, you said it right the first time. So right. Good job.
Yay. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Hopefully we will talk to you tomorrow. Bye.